Chapter. We'll start with verse 28 if you'd like to follow along. This is probably a story that you know, one that's familiar. At least parts of this, I'm guessing, that you've heard. It's well accounted for in the Gospels, and there's a version of this in other places as well. But let's listen to it this morning, and let's, more importantly, listen in it for what God might say to us through it. One of the teachers of the law came and heard Jesus debating the religious leaders. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor and yourself as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The man replied, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, this is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, now we humbly ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Help us to hear in these words the invitation to follow Christ. And help us find in your grace the strength to live that out. In Christ we ask. Amen. In our text this morning in Mark, we meet a relatively rare character in the gospel, a religious leader, a scribe in this case, who seems to agree with Jesus. That's not typically the case. Certainly it's not the case in the chapters that precede and lead up to this text. The scribes in Jesus' day were elite scholars. They were especially trained in language, in reading and writing. They tended to work for either the government or in religion. Their task was to constantly study the text and what it means. Many texts translate scribe here as a teacher or expert in the law. Many of them were charged with copying texts, sacred texts, to make sure that they were perfect. And they followed elaborate rituals to make sure that there were no mistakes. This particular scribe has been listening to Jesus. Jesus has been arguing with other religious leaders. But more than listening, he has liked what Jesus said. He's agreed with it. And so he asked him a question, one which he would have already had a definite answer in mind. Which commandment is the most important? Now, this isn't a random question, nor is the man actually asking as if he doesn't know the answer. This would have been, in Jesus' day, a long-standing debate among scribes, among Pharisees, among religious leaders. There are 613 laws in what we call the Old Testament. Imagine getting a room full of religious experts yelling, "Which one is the most important?" slamming the door and running away. That's what you get here. This is a well-known argument, and essentially he's asking Jesus where he falls in the circle. As an answer, Jesus recites the opening line to probably the best-known prayer in Judaism, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This prayer is called the Shema. The word "hear," the first word in the prayer, is Shema in Hebrew. And to this day, the Shema is recited or read in morning and evening prayers by many, if not most, Jewish persons. It is one of only two Jewish prayers that a Jewish person is expected to recite daily. These are words that Jesus would have learned in Hebrew, He would have prayed them daily. He would have spoken or recited them often. He would have heard them in the synagogue. After the first line, the prayer continues, "Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And then without a follow-up question, Jesus says, and the second commandment, the second greatest, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This one is from Leviticus. The Shema is from Deuteronomy. And it's hard to tell if the scribe is impressed, but he agrees at least for the first time calling Jesus teacher and telling him, "Well said. You're right, Jesus. Loving God, loving neighbor is more important than offerings and sacrifices." In other words, the most important commandments have to do with faithful living rather than religious ritual. Now it's Jesus' turn to weigh in. Jesus looks at him and, impressed with his answer, says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," which has several impacts. First, this is an expert in God. This is a man who specializes in God. This is a man whose daily, everyday, 24/7 business is God. And Jesus just told him, "You're doing pretty good. You're close. You're not far. You're getting there." And second, the man seemed to think until that very moment that he was the one doing the evaluating. He was checking Jesus out. But Jesus has just evaluated him and done it in a way that conversation has stopped. It says literally the end of Mark, no one dared ask him more questions. You're not far from the kingdom of God. What does Jesus mean here? Well, on the one hand, this is almost the Bible's attempt at humor. He is literally standing right next to the kingdom. Jesus, the embodiment of everything God wants for people, is mere feet away. This man is next to what God is doing, God's highest work in the world, the Messiah, salvation and truth. It is right in front of him. And Jesus is asking if he'll see it. And then on the other hand, it seems to be the case that Jesus always considers the difference between knowing and doing. Yes, the man knows the right answer. But living out the faith is not a test where you fill in the blanks. It's a performance review about what you've done or haven't done. Sure, love God, love neighbor. Sounds good. It is the exact right answer, in fact. But have you done it? Has knowing the right answer led you to do the right things? That's the real question. Knowing the answer puts you close to the kingdom. Actually doing it is living out the kingdom. People like it when Jesus gives answers, especially the answers they agree with. Suspect the scribe is less crazy about Jesus evaluating how well he's done it. In the mid-90s, the poet Maya Angelou was interviewed. And during the interview, the interviewer asked, "What's left for you? You've done pretty much everything. You've had an incredible career. You've met with presidents and toured the world. What's left for you?" And Angelou said, "Lots. For one thing, I'm trying to be a Christian, which is no small matter. I mean it. I'm always amazed when people walk up to me and say, 'I'm a Christian.' I always think, 'Already? You've already got it? My goodness. There's something there, I think. When we say, 'I'm a Christian,' I bet we almost always mean, 'I believe Christian things.' When we say, 'I'm trying to be a Christian,' I bet we mean, 'I'm trying to do the things Jesus wants me to do.' Which is better, I think, but harder. One is a label and one is a description, and labels are easier. If someone asked you what are the greatest commandments in Christianity, most of us would get it right. Some of us would quote this verse. But the text wants to ask how many of us are doing it. Are we in fact living it out? Are we loving God with passion and joy with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? Are we throwing ourselves into daily prayer? Are we seeking guidance from the Scripture? Are we growing in faith by putting God first in our day, our life, our home, our job? Are we giving our best to the one God who is alone to be worshiped and served? We know what to do. Are we doing? And what about our neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a great verse. That's a great answer. You have any idea how hard that is? Especially your difficult neighbors, the ones who don't look like you, the ones who don't think like you or act like you, the ones who in this coming week won't vote like you. Love those neighbors as yourself. Treat those neighbors with love, kindness, respect, compassion. Care about them. Don't let the difficulties or the differences get in the way of loving them. Oh, come on, Jesus. Can't I just give you the right verse? I know the answer. Jesus says, no. Not unless you do it, you don't. And what might be worse is Jesus connects the ideas as if you really don't love God well unless you also love your neighbor well. And that's not what most of us wanted to hear. Years ago, I read a story about a pastor who was teaching confirmation class. And if you've ever done that, you get this. He had one of those days where he just wasn't up to it. And he thought, how can I keep these kids busy for a while without them driving me crazy? And so he went down into the church basement and he found a picture, and it was kind of one of those modern art pictures. He thought it was supposed to be God. There were some swirling colors and patterns. It's one of those pictures that the church gets when somebody else doesn't want, but it's religious, so they won't throw it away. So it ends up in the church basement where he found it. He looked at it quickly to make sure it wasn't a memorial and wasn't going to get him in trouble. And then he cut it up into a puzzle. And he thought, I'll give this to the kids. Hopefully this will keep them busy for the class. It should take them most of the class period. If I'm lucky, take them the whole class period. But it didn't. They finished it really quickly. And he was amazed, and he went in and he said, how'd you guys get done so fast? And you know, kids always find a loophole. They said, Pastor, we turned it over and we noticed on the other side there was a picture of people, a bunch of faces. So we just put the faces back together. The faces were easier to see. Friends, that's the Christian faith in a nutshell. Commandment 2 gives Commandment 1 specifics. God can be hard to see. God can be hard to understand. But neighbors, they're right there. They have faces and names and needs. They're easier to find. Loving God can be spiritual and fuzzy. Loving neighbor is not. It's clear and concrete. When we're confused, uncertain about what it means to love God, which law matters most, we always have neighbors. We always know the right answer to the question, how should we treat them? But Jesus isn't going to want an answer, but an action. It turns out that being Christian isn't a test, It's a task. Hear this, O church. Because the Lord is God, you are to love Him. And because you do, you are to love them. It is that simple. It's just not that easy. And when you know that, you are close to the kingdom. But when we do that, then we are following Jesus. Amen.